We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a message from the conservative resistance. Safely from the studios of the Big Talker FM.
Experienced and compelling commentary, hard-hitting interviews, information that really matters. It's time for Chad Adams on the Morning Beat.
The following takes place between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m.
Good morning, folks. We enter the national arena in our third hour here on the Big Talker FM. Chad Adams, your host. Amy Robbins over there making it sound good. Here, our Institute of Rational Thought. Doors open to the public. You get to participate in our show, and we are glad you do. And this hour, no different. Excellent guest. This is just a phenomenal guest. We've had him on the show before. ATI, the American Tradition Institute's Chris Horner, who has been basically on the front lines of the Solyndra situation, not just in the past 3 weeks when the rest of the media kind of caught up, when the U.S. taxpayer realized that they'd been hoodwinked for $500 million, that he was actually there in 2010 talking about this over at Pajamas Media, who we've also had on the show before. Chris, welcome. How are you today?
Thank you, Chad. I'm great.
I tell you what, this situation with Solyndra is an absolute nightmare. This is an incentive. I mean, we can call it what we want to, but they're very popular on the ground here in North Carolina and other states that love to give it away now. And so the situation with Solyndra, $500 million. Obama holds a press conference talking about the future of alternative energy. And then within a couple weeks, they close the doors. The feds raid their homes and offices. And, we're sorry that we ripped you guys off for $500 million. What's going on here?
Well, what happens is you when politicians, not a product's performance or its economics or market forces that is demand, but when politicians decide, you know, we should be making this, so we shall make this, and they transfer wealth to make sure we make it, then you've got something that's essentially a commodity because people don't buy it because of its economics or its performance. And when you've got a commodity, the low-cost producer will always win. The low-cost producer will not be in something like this. Us. It just won't.
Right.
These things exist because of political vanity. China's taking advantage of us. They're not installing the things. They're making them. And when we finally get over this madness, they'll just turn their resources to making something else that our politicians mandate to satisfy their vanity. This is not rational. Now that we're in the chamber of rational thought, this is political. It's driven by emotion. It's driven by hand-waving. It's driven by, it was for a while driven by the global warming argument, then claiming it's the right thing to do. Now they're claiming why it's new, it's nascent, it's of the future. Except solar-powered electricity was commercialized back in 88 for the first time, 1888. The modern, yeah,
1888.
See, so if your principal argument is a, a lie, the rest, it can't go very well from there. And so now that, well, we're nascent. We just need to be given a chance to compete. Good gracious. You lost at the beginning. You've lost since. The modern solar cell was invented in 1954. Intel was invented their products sometime after that. Are they new and nascent and therefore need to be propped up? No. This is simply every one of these companies, and by the way, there will be many more Solyndras. Everyone came and proved far too much. Every one of these folks who came to the government and said, I need taxpayer money or else I'm going to disappear, should have been told, then disappear. Because as we learned here, and I'm telling you, Chad, we will see every time and time again, I laid out exactly how this was going to go down in Power Grab, my book a year ago, and it's going down exactly like that. The second part of the sentence, which they're never forced to acknowledge, but is inescapable, is, of course, even if you do give me this bag of money, I'm going to have to disappear as soon as I burn through it. I'm uneconomic.
Right.
Well, this, politicians don't. It's not their money, so they don't even look.
You wrote now in Pajamas Media. You published stuff about Solyndra in 2010. What were you saying then? I mean, and why did this not why wasn't this? Didn't this come to light before the nightmare? You were writing about it then. What were you writing about it then? And why? So we have no excuse for why we didn't know.
Right. We didn't listen, as Team Gore likes to say. We didn't listen, or at least when they're in their caricatures in South Park, we didn't listen. This is not really rocket science. Why don't I just... we've been conditioned to believe that solar power, wind power, it's the right thing to do. It's
yep.
new, something like that. Back it out and substitute anything else that people don't want because of the economics, the performance. Let's say a requirement that
substitute meat, get rid of all meat and put soy products in there.
soy products in, or voice-operated cheese graters mounted on the wall, or in-house masseuses. The state can mandate anything they can get away with mandating. But you're going to, and you're going to see a boom in those jobs. Yes, there'll be a boom in the masseuse industry until the mandate expires, because that's not economic. The state has said, well, we're just not productive because I think everybody has a knot under their right scapula, and this will help, and they get a computer model that says there's a multiplier effect. I mean, I'm describing Obamanomics to you, by the way, which is why we were saying this about Solyndra. It's not economic. This was a massive amount of money. It was rushed. It was first. It was a huge red flag. And here's the thing. I knew it was going to play out this way because Obama had told me so. What do I mean? 8 times. He said, hey, look at Spain. That's my model. Okay. Well, here's what he doesn't know. I married a European. I worked over there for a while. When you say that as President of the United States, Spaniards take notice. If you say it about Denmark, and he did after he got busted on Spain, Danes take notice. When the President of the United States says, hey, you're really cool, you're our model, it makes the paper. The academics take a look at the claim. And Spain was a disaster. It es una ruina, as a full-page article in La Gazzetta acknowledged 2 weeks before he went to Solyndra. He called the socialist prime minister, Zapatero, 2 weeks before he went to Solyndra with this loan guarantee, which, and by the way, the loan was actually from the taxpayer, too, so we're on the hook either way. And he said, you've got to stop the spending. You're going to be bankrupt because of contagion. When you're the next Greece, we're the next you. This is clear. This made the papers in Spain, too. It made the papers in the West. And then 2 weeks later, he goes and replicates the Spanish model again. He learned, or cared to learn, nothing. He told us 8 times, look at Spain. When we wrote about Spain, he stopped saying, look at Spain. He said, look at Denmark. But he continued pushing Spain's policies. And when he knew it bankrupted Spain, all he did was continue to faster, faster, pussycat. He has, I guess, one speed, ignorance.
Well, it's amazing. This is an administration that continues to tout alternative energy, and yet we see time and again the nightmare that is the fraud that is rife within these organizations. And we remember the green trade that Al Gore set up and made millions on before it collapsed. And we've got people from the Sierra Club coming down into this area right now, going city by city, touting windmill farms off the coast here. This stuff is falling apart. Light Squared is next in line, and it looks like more and more is coming out about that. With us right now, our guest is Chris Horner. He is the ATI Environmental Law Center Director of Litigation. He's also been an author of best-selling books. He's got 3 of them to his credit, and we're going to continue our discussion with him after the break. Right now, going over, if we can see if Corey's over there. Corey Withers, traffic and weather here at the Big Talk with me. Continuing our discussion with Chris Horner, ATI, American Tradition Institute's Environmental Law Center, Director of Litigation. And Chris, appreciate you being a part of our program. First things first, I need to thank the Civitas Institute for sponsoring the entirety of this broadcast. You can find out more about them at nccivitas.org, completely and utterly donor-driven. If you're looking for a watchdog group to support, they monitor what's going on in the General Assembly across the state and support them, nccivitas.org. Chris, now, I got to ask you. Okay, Solyndra, now we have Light Squared. We know there's all sorts of other corruption problems. This is basically, it's been raining federal dollars in the alternative energy world. We have renewable energy portfolio standards that are forcing ratepayers on their electric bills to subsidize all of this stuff. It's like they don't have to produce anything. And it's bad enough that they can't produce solar when the clouds are in the sky. They can't produce wind when there's no wind. We're having to produce money for them that they can't earn. Do you think the love affair with this alternative energy stuff is fading yet?
It's my understanding from people I speak to both up on the Hill and in the financial and energy communities that they realize the threat that Solyndra's rapid expose provides them. Remember, yes, you have tremendous opportunity for corruption when you go from a lot to vast sums, not based on performance. It is allocated for political considerations. That isn't always, as in this case, apparently, a large donor gets a huge bag of money. But it is always for political considerations. Well, yeah, I know the stuff that works, but I don't want that. I'm a politician, and I want to show I, quote, did something, and I care and all that. So I want this to exist. When you push money out the door on that basis, and lots of money, with apparently no oversight, because, again, the considerations are political, you're begging corruption. Not all of these are going to show corruption. They all will fail, I'm confident, for the same reason Solyndra did. It didn't fail because it was corrupt. It was a classic example of why petitioners to the state who are coming there saying, look, people investing their own money won't support me, are telling you all you need to know. The government should not be in this business. It's not that they have a terrible record picking winners and losers. That's half right. They have a spectacular record picking losers because they pick from lines of losers through the private. There may be a gem in there somewhere, a pony under that, sometime, but I'm not sure it's worth the candle. Remember, this one failure is $500 million, and they're rushing out $10.5 billion more post-Solyndra to beat a deadline. Wow. Wow. This is reckless beyond belief. So, corruption or not, these are all going to collapse. And if the bloom is not off the rose after several more Solyndras, I have no idea what's going to make people realize that it's sold as new. It's not new. I just explained that. It's sold as alternative. Wait a minute. For an alternative to be an alternative, you know what it has to be? An alternative.
Right.
And stuff that works sometimes isn't an alternative to stuff that works all the time. It's massively expensive. It's always going to be made somewhere else. You can only use it when it's mandated and underwritten by the taxpayer and so on. Let me tell you two things real quickly. If this gets around, the president used to say Spain. He no longer does. Well, Spain, if they could figure out how to pull the plug, they've run up a bill now that equals 11% of their GDP just on this. If they could pull the plug and they have no idea how to get out because they've created a political and a banking crisis.
Well, Chris, not to interrupt you. I'm interrupting you. You said 11% of GDP in Spain is spent on what?
Their debt that they've incurred to pay this off real quickly.
If you use this stuff,
it's really expensive. Just let me tell you, if you use this stuff, it's really expensive. So you don't want the customer, read voter, to have to pay the cost of what you're forcing on them, which you're shoving into the economy. So in Spain, which was Obama's model, they turned the rest into debt. The state guaranteed the debt like they did with Solyndra. And it's a bond. It's essentially a bunch of Greek bonds for the future so that they don't have to pay the cost of their electricity bills today. It's a Wimpy Weatherby plan. Wimpy Weatherby meets Greece. And so if they pulled the plug now, the banks underwrote it and so on, Fannie and Freddie for wind and solar. It gets complicated, but it's really, for people who pay attention to American politics, it's actually quite simple. If they were to just try to pull the plug, they've got 11% of their GDP in debt for wind and solar now. Germany, trying to, quote, jumpstart solar, and this is the only country the administration has at any point since the Spanish expose repeated as a model. Germany spent more trying to, quote, jumpstart just the solar industry. It's almost twice as much if you add wind, but just solar. They spent more in the past decade during their boom of solar trying to jumpstart it, and it's busting them, than they spent on bailing out Greece. Wait, I'm not done. And Portugal. Wait. And Ireland.
Wow.
Combined, Germany spent more on just trying to jumpstart solar than bailing out Greece, Portugal, and Ireland combined. Yeah, we'll make it up in volume, right? When you're in a hole, stop digging, particularly when it's my money.
Yeah, and they're dumping. Germany's dumping its nuclear. They're not renewing or building any new nuclear. They've decided, even in the heels of what you just said, they're doubling down, so to speak,
right,
on this alternative energy stuff. It's just not working for.
That's a political calculation, right? That's not, okay, look, now the sun's going to shine, we know it, and we're going to figure out a super advanced way to store energy that nobody has ever been able to do. And we're going to, somehow, politicians have said what politicians say. These aren't rational decisions, they're political decisions. People got scared about nukes in Germany because they have a very powerful green movement. Japan, we had the Fukushima incident. Germany just immediately swore off nukes. Well, you're not going to just shut down. Remember, to be an alternative, you have to be an alternative. Wind and solar are not alternatives to nuclear. They don't know how they're going to make it up. They know they have a lot of coal. They figure somehow the people will let them burn it. Meanwhile, they're trying to bring in gas from Russia. They've created a much worse problem for themselves, and it's because you're trying to... The politicians cannot design the future. They can cause problems for it. They can impact it, generally in negative ways. But this is actually pretending you can design it and causing great harm in the process. We're entering a vast period of energy insecurity, which is very, very dangerous economically, but to us as people.
Wow. It just staggers my mind. There's two things that concern me. Is the left always tries to portray the right as not liking alternative energy, and that's simply not the case. Everybody would love if solar could produce electricity and be competitive. Everyone would love it if wind produced it without massive harm to the environment and would produce it in an efficient manner and produce it all the time. It doesn't. And subsidizing it, what we've learned now, we're 30, 40 years into subsidizing these alternative things, and they're not getting cheaper, better. They're not getting, you know, everything else in the free market, cheaper, better, cheaper, better. Look at cell phones. But in this, it's not getting cheaper or better.
Here's the thing. I get this silly argument. Well, the fuel's free, you see. So this will be at some point. Okay, then why aren't we all Jed Clampett with wind and sun? We've all discovered wind and sun blowing across our property. How come we're not all Jed Clampett as he was with oil or gas or coal, if you find that on your land?
Right.
Because one is very, very expensive to turn into usable energy. You can make massive marginal improvements in something that's spectacularly inefficient, and it's still spectacularly inefficient. Yes, the fuel is free. It's very diffuse. That is, it's all over the place. It's weak. It's not concentrated. Oil, coal, gas, nuclear, very concentrated, small footprint. Yes, the fuel's free, but they keep claiming these massive improvements, but you're talking massive improvements from extremely low efficiency. And then so they change the subject and say, well, you can't say Solyndra's typical. We sold a lot more in 09 than in 08 and in 10 than 09. Well, that's apples and stethoscopes. Solyndra's now. I'm saying, yeah, in this, that's a tautology. In this period of massive wealth transfers to get people to make and buy the stuff, why there have been massive increases in people making and buy the stuff. Yeah, that's right.
Well, the Green Movement embraced for years natural gas. It burns clean. We got an abundant supply. Now that we have, literally hundreds of years worth of natural gas supplies, it can be obtained via fracking and other methods, making it much cheaper to obtain. It cleans. You can even run cars on the stuff. And yet they've turned on natural gas. Why are they turned? I thought natural gas was a good alternative, and now they hate natural gas too.
They didn't realize we were going to have so much of it.
That's what I think. I think that they realize, oh no, there's a lot of it. We can't embrace this. And
no, they were this way with nuclear. I mean, that's exactly what happened. They're staunch proponents of anything until it looks like it might become reality. Goldilocks, I guess, is the best you could say. There, and nothing's just right. As long as you have a lot of it, that's really the threat. If you've got a lot of something, they let me tell you, here's the conundrum. These people who now say, no, we need to make the stuff that works really, really expensive, because if we do, well, you're greedy and you'll figure it out. You'll invent flubber or pixie dust. Well, these are the same people, Amory Lovins, Andy Revkin, Jeremy Rifkin. I got one other guy I use on a PowerPoint slide who for decades I've got quotes of them saying, the worst fate to befall humanity would be if we found an abundant, renewable, affordable, clean burning source of energy. We have them, but in their mind. In other words, they claimed it was the dream. They claimed it was the nightmare. Now they're saying as a rationale to make the stuff that works so expensive, well, you're greedy. You'll invent flubber, and then it will be nirvana. You've always said flubber was our greatest nightmare because we would use it. They're not an overly honest crowd, as I pointed out. They claim it's new. Nonsense. They claim it's going to be free. That's impossible. Look, if you look at the history, it's always going to be very diffuse. Maybe we'll invent some incredible battery storage technique, but remember, we're a very advanced technological society. We have not just begun to, quote, invest in these dogs. Jimmy Carter, I have a Wall Street Journal
Chris,
headline from 1979. Carter increased outlays. It's not new.
Chris, we're here at the end, and I want to get you a 10-second answer here. Do you believe the Solyndra stuff becomes a more serious scandal for the Obama administration and now Light Source on its heels?
Yes, I do, and probably for the industry as well, political but also substantive, which will save us a lot of money. Who knows? In the end, this $500 million could have proved worth it.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Horner from the American Tradition Institute. Also read some of his stuff over at biggovernment.com. Coming up next, Pamela Geller, Palestinian statehood, author of Stop the Islamization of America, Practical Guide to the Resistance. Stay tuned. Much more to go on the Big Talker FM.
Broadcasting from Wilmington, North Carolina, in the greatest nation on earth, this is the Big Talker FM. It's 8:30.